Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by Parent Educate and Thrive Cosmetics. Thank you for making our show a possibility. Thank you so much.
Boom, boom, boom. What's up, Jay?
What's up, E? How are you?
I am feeling non-problematic in the moment. Like, okay. I'm not feeling problematic. How are you?
I'm good. You know what, E? It's Memorial Day.
Thank goodness for the vets.
My dad was a vet. He didn't die serving our country.
Right. My grandpa, he didn't die from it either. But
actually, you know what? My dad, this sad trigger warning. I'm not laughing. This isn't funny. My dad actually passed away from a cancer.
Oh.
Prostate cancer, that it's a certain kind of prostate cancer that a lot of Vietnam vets got and passed from. So, damn. In a way, maybe my dad is a vet who died for his country. Kind of. I don't know.
Yeah.
In the end,
I'm
he was
sorry.
Kind of. Yeah. Thank
that
you.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. Anyway,
damn.
We just took a sad turn and we weren't meaning to. Not at
but
all.
But we're going to, it's Memorial Day. So, that yes. We're talking about it. And you had a special relationship with your dad. And
yeah.
That I think this is the perfect time to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, sending love to all the families of vets.
Yes, absolutely.
Who have died fighting for our country.
Yes.
This is the last couple days of Mental Health Awareness Month.
I can tell you that Mental Health Awareness Month has been a big deal for me.
Hmm.
Because I have my challenges with mental health. And, you know, it's funny because you deal with your mental health, but then you're always dealing with your mental health. And I thought that being on medication was going to be the magic elixir. And it helps greatly, don't get me wrong, but I still have to do my practices and life still happens. And sometimes it's the medications, the therapies, sometimes it doesn't work. And you just got to sit in that shit and where you're safe and your support system is around and look forward to June, which is just 2 days away.
Yes. And so if any of you are struggling with mental health, we're here for you. We love you.
Yeah.
We hope we offer you a little bit of joy and comfort in your journeys.
Yeah.
But also just remember, Pride is around the corner.
Pride.
Pride.
Pride. Pride.
Yes, Pride. Pride is a big deal in my house. My kids love Pride. How about Tiverico? Does Tiverico love Pride?
I don't know, because he used to love lots of things, and now he's disinterested in everything.
Well, he's a teenager.
No, he's a preteen, but he keeps acting like a teen.
But did he used to love Pride?
He
did. It's still in his heart. It's still
there. He goes to the celebrations. He used to dance on the grass and play with the kids.
So
we used to have fun, and I don't think he got it fully. He just was like, oh, fun, you know, play with kids.
Yeah.
But now he's not interested in much as far as leaving the house except to go play basketball.
Oh, well, you need a Pride basketball game. That's what you need.
Ooh, yes.
You need to do a Pride basketball game. But my kids love it. They love it. And I think Orion, he's 4, so he's finally at the age where he might really, like, he doesn't get it yet. He just sees rainbows everywhere. But I think maybe this year, we usually do like a big party at the house, and our house is close to the parade. So people come in and out and walk to the parade and come back. But we're a little further from the parade now because we moved. And, you know, the pandemic, I don't know, we're going to figure it out. We're going to enjoy it. My daughter's really excited for Pride, so we got to do something fun. All right, let's talk about our guest.
Oh,
Teek Milan. All right, I'm going to read you Teek Milan's bio from his website because I think it just explains Teek in a nutshell in such a beautiful way. Teek Milan is one hell of a force of nature. Mm. He is a media maker. He's a journalist. He's a human rights advocate, a father. He is a vital voice within the trans community. Milan has done it all, from big-name interviews with Jay-Z and Cicely Tyson to penning articles for the New York Times, Rolling Stone, The Source, Vibe, and others on issues facing the LGBT movement. He's amazing.
He is. And you might remember Teek from season 3, episode 4, titled A Queer Vision, and the book If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making LGBTQ Family.
Oh, I know that book. Yes, because Teek has a couple appearances in that book as well.
That's wonderful.
But Teek is back, y'all.
Teek is back. Boo.
Yes, and Teek is going to tell us where he is now, but he's also here to talk about Ovaries 2.0 and the importance of inclusion when it comes to our very vast and beautiful community. Teek packs a punch in everything he says. So let's not ramble. We've been rambling a very lot.
Well, we need to move on.
Let's move on. Let's get Teek in the room.
Let's talk to Teek.
All right. Helen, could you roll that tape, please, Helen? Thank you, Helen. She's doing it.
Good job, Helen.
Hi, Teek.
Hi, Teek.
Hi, how are you? Hi, folks.
Oh, it's so good to have you.
Yeah, so good to see your faces.
I was just telling E that the first time we interviewed Teek, you know, I had no idea that Teek packed so much amazing information into every single sentence. And then when I had to go back and re-listen when we were writing the book, I realized, holy shit, he said so many profound things in his little 50-minute episode. So I am super, super excited. I'm super excited to have you back.
I'm excited to be here. I talk fast, so, you know, try to pack it in there.
You do. You pack a punch. So without further ado, I think it is time for you to give us your 30-second elevator pitch so everybody can get a rundown of kind of who you are. I mean, I hope they listened to your episode, A Queer Vision, from season 3, episode 4. But if not, let's just let everybody know at home who you are. Are you ready, Teek?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, on your mark. Get set. Action.
All right. So I am Teek Milan. I am a father. I'm an advocate. I'm transgender. I'm Black. Clearly, I'm also a Cancer. I live in Brooklyn, New York. Why am I here? What do? I talk a lot about gender. I talk about creating organic modes of masculinity. I talk about what it means to heal and what it means to be a fully developed human gendered person in the world. And I also talk about what the gender experience is and what that looks like at the intersections of race and sexuality and different identities. And I like puppies.
My God, that was fantastic.
Boom. Damn.
Wow.
I have to tell you something at home.
Teak didn't remember about this elevator pitch, and Teak just did that on the spot, and you packed a punch.
Freestyle. I'm blown away.
Freestyle.
I'm completely blown away.
Freestyle.
Wow. Oh, my God. So, thanks.
And you're a Cancer. I don't mean to just pull that out, but I think astrological signs are really important, and Cancer
I do too.
Is like the best sign.
Thank you. What's your sign?
I'm a Cancer as well.
Oh,
okay. Clearly.
But
okay. I thought so.
All right. So let's get into your story a little bit, Teak, because yeah. The last time you were with us, you and your wife had just had your baby daughter. Mm-hmm. And you talked a lot about, you know, parenting and how you planned on parenting her. And so give us a rundown of where your life is right now. How's it all going?
Yeah. Things are well. My daughter's 4 now.
Congratulations.
She's 4. She is in karate class in gymnastics. And she is obsessed with pterodactyls. she's sassy. She's a defiant little sassy little person. Sometimes it's completely intolerable, but I love her so much.
Absolutely.
I love her so much.
Absolutely.
So she's amazing. I'm divorced.
Oh.
Yep. We got a divorce.
I'm sorry.
I moved back to New York City.
I know that's hard. No, whether it's good or bad, it's still hard.
It was hard. It was hard. It was rough. It was a rough. You know, the divorce was fine. It was just the custody, like going back and forth in court. The custody, you know, I was living in Toronto. So we had to go through court in Ontario, which was to my advantage because Toronto courts are pretty liberal and they don't play that shit when it comes to trans people and trans parents.
Right.
So, you know, so I had a really good team of people on my side, but that was like a 2-year thing just trying to work out what our situation was going to look like. So it got ugly for a second, but we're all right now. Like she and I, we're co-parenting, you know, she's, you know, her and my daughter are in Texas now. So they're down in Dallas.
Wow.
I'm here. Yeah. They left Toronto. She's there. So I go back and forth to see my daughter. I talk to her every day. So there's that. So I came back to New York. Career's thriving.
Yes, it is.
You know, I've had some great relationships. And then, you know, I'm you know, I've been living in New York for 20 years. I just took a break when I was married and moved to Toronto for like 2 years. So this is nice. It was really nice just to come back home.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember when you were in Toronto. You were in Toronto when we interviewed you. I mean, you were you were actually in New York with us when we interviewed you.
Yeah.
But you were living in Toronto. And it was during when Trump was president. So we were all very jealous that you were in Toronto.
No, that was a part of the reason that we left. Because when Kim and I were married, she was like, your country has lost its mind when they elected Trump. And she was like, we're leaving. And we left. He was elected in November. We were out in January.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you actually did it. I've talked about doing
it. I know.
That a lot,
I talked about it. Everybody talked about it, but nobody bought a ticket. Congratulations for actually getting out of here.
Yeah, I sold all my stuff and we bounced.
Yeah. Wow. So now you guys got divorced and went through all the custody stuff.
It works. I FaceTime with my kid every day. Let me tell you, technology. So we have iPhones. Mm-hmm. So we could do like those Memojis, you know, where you can like put on a face on your face and it moves with you.
Yeah.
And she calls it doing battle. So she'll be the unicorn and I'll be the dragon. And people are like, oh, okay, now we're going to do battle. So we have this whole thing where we really have a lot of fun because that's like our main mode of communication is FaceTime. So I try to make it, interactive as I can until I can see her in person. And I go see her all the time. And then I'm going to have her this summer. So.
Oh, the whole summer?
No, not the whole 6 weeks.
I get her six weeks every summer.
That's a long time. Half the summer.
Yeah, that's great.
Jay. Let's talk about ParentEducate.com, the go-to provider of research-based online parenting courses. Mm-hmm. The online science-backed courses contain the same info as those taken by early childhood teachers. Did you know that?
I did because I read it, but ParentEducate.com's ever-growing course catalog includes 100+ engaging online courses that cover a variety of topics, including behavior, development, nutrition, play safety, and more. I mean, we all could use help in these departments. Hey.
Ashe, from learning how the first 3 years of a child's life affected brain development to child passenger safety to learning positive discipline techniques, ParentEducate.com has something for everyone.
Everyone. And each online course only takes 20 to 30 minutes to complete.
Yeah.
Every course is available 24/7, and you can enjoy them at your own pace from any web-based device, including your mobile phone.
Boom,
allowing families to conveniently learn how to parent like a pro.
And parents can sign up for a monthly, quarterly, or annual plan for as little as $4.99 a month, providing unlimited access to ParentEducate.com's extensive course catalog.
I think this is good for all parents. New courses are added each month with bonus material throughout the month.
You know, I'm always looking for perfect gifts. Mm. And I think ParentEducate.com makes the perfect gift for new parents.
It is good.
What parent doesn't want? A thoughtful gift that will actually help them that they will use to raise healthier, happier kids.
Yeah, yeah.
A ParentEducate.com subscription is the perfect gift. A last minute gift for baby showers mm-hmm. because the subscription arrives within minutes.
Seconds.
A thoughtful gift that's perfect for holidays, baby showers, or to simply say, thinking of you.
Yeah.
A zero waste present.
I'm always I'm always looking for good presents. Okay, so guys, ParentEducate.com is offering 20% off the first month of a monthly subscription plan for listeners of the show at ParentEducate.com, and then you're going to enter coupon code OCT at checkout. There you go.
Boom.
Boom. More gifts. T, can you remind our listeners, how did you make your daughter? That sounds so weird, but like the LGBTQ baby making world, that's a question. How did it come about?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know how much I talked about that in the episode.
Well, I do remember that. Well, you have a beautiful quote in our book where you said something about who my baby's donor is doesn't matter to me. And I don't care. Like, I'm not going to say it right. So say it.
So I'm just going to say this. It was complicated. Mm. It was complicated. You have a known donor. It was complicated.
Yes. Mm.
But it's done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's still like some hiccups here and there that, you know, having to deal with and boundaries and all these kinds of things. I just want to say this, that I have fought very hard to be my child's father. I have fought very, very hard, you know, and I think that as a trans person, particularly as a trans man, well, I'm kind of putting my fatherhood in the hands of cis folks who are making my baby. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's my baby. I've chosen not to carry. I've chosen not to biologically, you know, give my genetics to a child, right? I've chosen that because that's just not a part of my journey as a man. There's some men who do, who they may freeze eggs. You have some men who carry. I'm just not that guy, right? So that's a sacrifice I make. So which means that my fatherhood is really intentional, and it's also really integrated with the trust of other people, right? So it's like, you know, cis man could go out and make a baby. You know, he can go and make three babies a day mm-hmm. if he wants to.
Sure could.
I fucking can't.
Right.
I can't, right? So I've had to work really hard. I've had to put a lot of trust, a lot of places. I've had lots of disappointments, but I'm here, and we made it through. So my advice, if there are any trans people or gestating parents? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if that's the word. My advice to you, if you are listening, get all your ducks in a row. Make sure you get all your everything legally situated, solidified, modified, fried, dyed, and laid to the side. Okay, just make sure you get all your shit in order and make sure you are on your child's birth certificate.
I absolutely couldn't agree with you more. Yes. As the non-bio parent of my son, the best move I ever made was making sure that we had our second parent adoption in place.
Yeah. Whatever it is that you have to do to make sure that you, the people that you are legally connected to that child, that you are legally responsible for that child, do it. Do it all.
Well, right. Because
do it all, because you never know.
We talked about this with E's story. E went through a divorce as well. And I mean, I don't want to speak for E, but you said, I'm going to speak for you and then you can fix what I said. But like,
okay, go ahead.
You said in your episode, E, advice to folks who are married, talk about what your divorce will look like. Get everything in line. You. Because we don't know, right? And I'll put the ball in your court there, E, and explain it better.
My big mission in life is to, what does the divorce look like? I know we're excited and happy. We're about to jump the broom, get married, but really walking through the steps, because my ex-wife and I, we could have figured a lot of shit out if we planned for our divorce.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. And you spoke a little bit about, we didn't make biologically our children. And was there a desire in you too? And I only asked that question because I've had that desire with my current wife. I obviously had it with my last wife. And I hear that it's something that happens, this almost physical desire to make life with your wife or your lover, yeah, if I'm saying that correctly. Even though yeah, it can't quote unquote happen the heterosexual normative way, the yeah, impulses are exactly the same.
I know, as a trans person, I knew I never wanted to carry a kid.
Right.
I knew that this was nothing I ever wanted to do. And I wasn't really, and like making sure that my genetics were passed on or freezing my eggs and having to put my body through all of that to make that happen. That sacrifice was just too much for me to have that kind of like genetic biological relationship or realization. Mm-hmm. So no, so it wasn't that important to me, but it was important to have a family. It was important to have a family, you know, and I just put a lot of trust in that. And I wanted to say something. You can plan your divorce all you want, but one thing I've learned is that the person you marry is not the person you divorce. Ooh. So you can talk all that shit you talk during your marriage.
Wait.
That was deep.
You can't just drop that big one on us and that go fast on. Deep. Can you say that again, please?
The person you marry is not the person you divorce.
That is the amen truth.
Yeah, and that's the realization. So we can plan our divorce all we want, but when we get to that point, it's like we are different people now. Mm. It is what it is. And it's like being ready for that change, like being ready for the uncertainty that change brings. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you prepare yourself for what's uncertain?
And how are you ready for what you can't be ready for?
Yeah. And for me, there was so many uncertain things. So many things have happened that I never thought would have happened, you know, with people I never thought they would happen with. There was so much uncertainty that at a point I had to let it go. I had to just let go of the things that I couldn't control and the things that weren't certain and really focus on the things that were certain for me. Mm. It creates some certainty in my life to get through a really like hard time, you know? So,
yeah, you alluded to the fact that things got messy.
Yeah.
Did they get messy with your donor?
Yeah. Things got messy. I mean, I haven't really gotten to like our whole story of just how everything went down, but I know who the donor is. Mm-hmm. He and I have never met in person. I've tried to connect with this man, but it just doesn't happen. Yeah, he got involved with the court thing and it was a mess. I mean, but the courts weren't trying to hear it because he hasn't been around. I've raised her.
Like, right.
I raised her. He kind of swooped in and was trying to create a bunch of chaos for me. And, you know, my ex wasn't very helpful. Oh. It was a lot. It was a lot. Let me tell you, just anything that you thought happened did happen. Let's just put it like that.
Did you have,
you know what I'm saying? Let's just put it like that.
Did you have a legal setup as you went into this?
I had a team of lawyers.
I mean, before in the donation process, like a legal setup for how this was going to roll out.
Did you write it all out?
I had a good friend of mine who's a trans guy and is an attorney. He sent me a donor agreement that he used for his kid. Mm-hmm. And so I just took it and then just like plugged in the pertinent information. I signed it. Donor signed it. Ex signed it. It got notarized. I saw it, you know, and at the time I was married, my wife at the time, she's the one who took care of all the records and the paperwork. So that was like her responsibility in our relationship. And then when we divorced, no one mysteriously could find the agreement.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh.
Damn.
Oh, shit. And were you on the birth certificate? You were on the birth certificate, right?
I am on the birth certificate.
Oh, thank God.
Not only that, but you also, even if I wasn't on the birth certificate and you can prove that you have been in the child's life since the beginning, mm-hmm, but that, you know, of course, can also err on your side as well. But I'm on the birth certificate. My daughter has my name. She has my mother's name is her middle name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I had to like just show proof, like thousands of photos, just photos and videos. Like I was there when she was born. I caught her.
I mean, you didn't create her in the traditional sense, but you created this child with your ex-wife.
Yeah. Right. And I made sure I paid child support, even though I wasn't put on child support by courts, even though my ex wasn't necessarily asking for it. I paid child support and I paid more than I was supposed to pay.
Right.
Even when I didn't have to. But my lawyer was like, you do that because this is also how you establish parenthood.
Your responsibility. I think this right here is your next post. Men who handled their child support before they have to is the new sexy as well. Because that kind of talk is amazing.
And it blows my mind how so many guys don't want to pay child support. It's just like, this is supporting your kid. It's so that your child can have a semblance of a two-parent home. So if I can't be there physically, let me be there financially. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, I take care of my child. I'm also taking care of my ex-wife. No matter what our relationship is or has been or how painful things have happened, you are my child's primary parent. Right. You are her protector. You are her educator. So yeah, if you're doing good, then she's doing good. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm going to take care of both y'all. I think that's my duty.
Yeah. But I also think I recently got sued by my ex-wife for child support, which didn't happen. But that feeling when I got sued was, oh, why she want my money? I do all these things for this kid. And I had this moment of, oh, this is how it must feel to men. Because it's predominantly what I've heard, that men pay child support. It's not often from the mother's mm-hmm. point of view. And yeah. just the whole getting sued, like thinking this could happen, was so insulting, considering the contribution of everything to my kid. Yeah. Like, we took that brother to Mexico and stayed in, you know, beautifully.
Right.
And he takes classes and he has everything. And it's just...
Yeah. And see, and that's the thing. You go to court, and sometimes people do that. Well, want to go through the system as a way of kind of like being vindictive. Mm-hmm. But particularly when it comes to like the child support thing, and you're already doing all this, and then you go to the courts, and the courts say, actually, you're doing too much. We're going to shrink this down. That's what happened with me. The courts were like, oh, okay, you're not going to be paying that much anymore, and they switched everything up. But I still do what I think is necessary mm-hmm. to make sure that my daughter is okay, no matter what that looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, so, but yeah, it's been a long, hard, hard road.
I am wearing Thrive Cosmetics again, you see?
Well, you always look so great. I can't even tell when you wear makeup, but I did tell my bestie about it, and they're very interested.
Ooh, yeah, they need to get some. I love Thrive Cosmetics. I really do. Here's the thing. They make high performance beauty and skincare products with clean, skin-loving ingredients. They use no parabens, sulfates, or phthalates, and they're certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. I feel like everybody should like that. Everybody.
I think you're right. I know my bestie would love it. She's down in Tulsa, and she's always into trying new products, so I can't wait to, you know, get her into it.
Oh, good. And I'm all about the clean skincare. Mm. I'm very into their Brilliant Eye Brightener. That genius highlighter stick helps me look like I've had plenty of restful sleep, which I never have, never, because I look tired a lot. But that eye brightener stick hides it well.
I mean, I don't think you look tired ever, but...
Because of my makeup.
Oh, is that because of the overnight sensation brightening sleep mask?
Yes, I love that thing too, because I rub it into my face before bed. You guys have all heard about this, and I kid you not, I look rested and hydrated the next day. Oh. Like, for real, it's a game changer. I love this stuff. It's antioxidant packed. It cools and it brightens and it rejuvenates my face, this old tired face, overnight. I highly recommend it. I pair that with their Defying Gravity Eye Lifting Cream, and I wake up looking refreshed, and I am definitely not.
Well, see, now I'm intrigued, because this is not just makeup. Like, I think mm-hmm. makeup, and I think, you know, like glam, high glam and liner. Right. But this is actually something I'm interested in now. So I put it on at night, go to sleep, and I wake up and I look 10 years younger, is what you're saying.
Yes. There's skincare and there's makeup too, but I love it all.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
Yes.
And they're Bigger Than Beauty Promise. For every product purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help women thrive. Women emerging from homelessness, surviving domestic abuse, fighting cancer, and more. Wow, this is amazing. I want to try that night stuff.
And now's a great time to try Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/OCT.
That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/OCT for 15% off your first order. I'm about to do it.
Try it out. It's good stuff.
So are you happy to be back in New York?
I am. I love this city so much.
Why?
That's a good question. I've been here for 20 years.
Please tell me. I'm a New Jerseyan, so I don't understand the love. Help me out.
Jersey. Oh, my God. Let me not be mean.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
New York only exists because of New Jersey, by the way.
I don't know.
Please continue.
I don't know. New York seeps into your bone. I am a San Franciscan, but New York seeps into you.
It seeps into your, it gets into you. There's something about the energy here. And just, I moved here when I was 22, I'm 42 now. Mm-hmm. I've been all this time, and it just kind of shaped my whole like adult life. And just the memories I have here. When I first moved here, I was a bartender at Crazy Nanny's, which was like the only all black lesbian bar that was owned by Elaine, who was this like fly ass butch of Jewish woman who just passed away. God rest.
Oh.
Rest Elaine was really power. Cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Elaine just died. Yep, she just died.
Oh,
like maybe like a couple months ago. But anyway, let me tell you how I got the job. I was just pounding the pavement in New York City looking for work. This is pre-Teak. This is when before I transitioned. I had like long locks and I was like this cute little butch, you know? So I walk into Crazy Nannies. I'm like, hi, excuse me. I just moved here for graduate school. I'm looking for a job. And the bartender was like, well, you're in luck because the manager's at the end of the bar. So I see Elaine there. She has like this pile of papers in front of her. So I'll go up to her. And I'm like, hey, my name is Teak. You know, I'm giving her my whole spiel. She's just interpreting. She's not paying attention. She looks up at me and she says, oh, you're cute. Can you sing? And I was like, a little bit. I love karaoke. And she was like, great. She hired me on the spot. She hired me on the spot because she liked how I looked. And I said that I could sing and sling drinks at the same time. So that's how I got introduced into like the New York City LGBTQ scene as being a bartender. And I started tending bar at so many different places all over the city. Mm-hmm. And I just made so many friends and made so many memories that it's just something that there's a sentiment in the city that just I have this lot of love here. And then I've worked so hard to make it here and to make something of my career. And I just see, I guess, and I just have like glimpses of what that took and what that felt like just all around me, you know, in the city. So it's just something about it. I just owe a lot to being here. It's really shaped me in a really, in a very, very real way.
Let's get to the reason, well, one of the reasons why I asked you to come back and speak, because here's what happened. When Robin told me that she was going to leave Ovaries, I had some moments of freak out. Like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this on my own? I want to keep this going. I never imagined this as a solo project. I always wanted somebody by my side doing it with me. And I started thinking a lot about, well, what is that going to look like now that Robin's gone? And I reached out to Teak and said, can I speak with you, Teak? Because I'm really having all of these big ideas and I want to speak to somebody who comes from the point of view of a different point of view than me. So I had a really amazing conversation with Teak about it. And I asked Teak to come on and speak about it for our listeners as well. And for E too, because E wasn't there for that conversation. So
yeah.
do you want to jump in there? It's not a question. I didn't even ask you a question, but.
Yeah, just recap a conversation. Right. So yeah. So you asked me about like coming on board and, you know, I love the podcast. Love you. But my whole thing was like, I don't know. And it was a couple of reasons. First, I just don't know how comfortable I would be just as a man, just with a show called like Ovaries.
Right.
You know, Ovaries could talk. For me, that just felt a little, because I don't want to start to, a part of the conversation about being a trans person is trying to make people understand that we want to make a disconnect between the body and the gender. Mm. Right. So I thought that was, for me as a trans man, co-hosting a show, if these Ovaries can talk, I think will start to bring people back into my body in a way that it's not going to feel good.
Right.
People are going to start to make connection with my identity with this body, you know, and that's not necessarily what I want. The idea here is like my presence and the presence of trans people is for people to start thinking differently about what gender is and not essentializing it to body parts or reproductive parts. So I thought that could be kind of confusing. I think that was a big thing. And then also I don't know if I had taken up a lot of space kind of in this conversation. I don't know if that didn't feel good for me either. So I think that was my biggest thing, just like how to, you know, have these really important conversations, but also still being able to broaden it so that people of different genders who are experiencing parenthood or reproductive stuff have this conversation in a way that, you know, feels really inclusive. Not to say y'all not inclusive, because you are.
Trying to be even more inclusive.
Yeah, for sure. But it was just like, for me, it just felt like it just wasn't in alignment.
Right. Totally. But I really appreciated what you had to say. And when I met E was a great fit as well. And I was like, this is so exciting. E and I get along really well and it's working out great. And I brought up the whole idea of the name to E, like, does this make you uncomfortable? Because E, you're non-binary. I keep telling you guys what you're going to say.
It's okay.
So
it's
like, okay. But how do you feel about the name, If These Ovaries Could Talk?
It doesn't bother me. I tried to get pregnant several times and it didn't. It's a part of my journey. Mm-hmm. So they're in there. They're not going to be used this lifetime, but you know, hopefully they'll stay healthy. And when I can get them safely removed, child, I'll be happy about it, but it doesn't bother me. Because I'm understanding my journey different in the trans world. I'm still trans. I still consider myself in the trans world, but I'm on a very mm-hmm. different journey with it. And that's hard because I wish it was more the mainstream journey. Mm-hmm. But I think we're all, you know, trying to figure out who we are. And I'm just understanding language in a way that I, you know, in 92, when I came out bisexual, or 99 as lesbian, 2008 as like, I think I found the word queer, and now non-gender conforming. It's just this constant reinvention and yeah. deeper understanding. I'm so happy there are words besides girl and boy, for Christ's yeah. sake. Mm-hmm. That's the happy, I do happy dances about it. So it's evolving. That's why I'm yeah. really patient, you know, with people and the change after 47 years.
Yeah. And I think that's an important point, just like the evolution of the language, the evolution, and just the evolution that people are on. I think the idea, trans people and queer people, I really think that we are a blueprint for other folks to start to have an understanding that they have control over their gender journey. Mm-hmm. No matter, they can assist, a cisgender person has a journey of gender, straight person has a journey of gender. But I think oftentimes we think this idea of actually being in control of it and being self-determined is something that only belongs to queer and trans people. And it does it. And I think if it belonged to more cis people and to more heterosexual people, actually the world would be a better place because they won't be so damn insufferable and repressed, yeah, right?
Right.
So it's like they would make the world so much better. And I'm saying all that to say this, as you know, if these ovaries can talk, there's going to be a revolving kind of evolution of audiences, of listeners. There's going to be trans men who say, yeah, I identify with my ovaries because I've carried a child, or I'm this, or non-binary. So I think there are people across the spectrum who can identify with the title of this podcast, but still not feel that it's essentializing their gender. You know, I think I'm just talking like for me mm-hmm. as a masculine binary man who's, you know, who has dysphoria around bodies. You know, I'm different. But I think that it's important to just, I don't know that there's an evolution that's always happening with people and language.
Yeah. And the thing is, we're all different. We're all so yeah. very different. That's the beautiful of our community, especially. But yes, you're right. Like, this should go for every person. We're all every a person. Beautiful rainbow of people and genders, mm-hmm. and no two people are the yeah. same. We're snowflakes. When Robin and I started this podcast, the language was not there. It was such a different world than it is now.
And that was only 4 years ago, right?
I know.
4 or 5 years ago.
More language has been unearthed. More things have been brought to light. And it's important that, especially a show like this, that is trying to do the work of telling the stories of our community's families, mm-hmm. includes it all. So
yeah,
in a way, this is kind of like a really nice metamorphosis of where this show is going to go. But I don't want to do it alone, and I can't do it alone because I only come at this with my cisgendered white
yeah.
lesbian perspective.
Yeah. yeah.
So that's yeah. why these conversations, though they can be difficult, are so important. It's important for us to have them out in public so that others feel empowered enough to have them themselves yeah. in their personal life, because we all need that's to be right. having these conversations.
Yeah. The difficult conversations are the most important conversations, I think. Right. You know, you have to be courageous enough to be vulnerable enough to say, I want to have this conversation because I want to be different, or I want to change, or I want to expand. Mm-hmm. Right. I think the other side of vulnerability is courage. Mm-hmm. And we need that courage in order to affect some type of change. And I think that's what you're doing. You're stepping into this place. I'm a little vulnerable. I don't want to do this by myself. I only have a limited perspective, but I'm being courageous enough to say, I want to be an agent of change in this way with the resources that I have. So that's great. Like, do your fucking thing, girl. I'm just cussing. Can I curse yes, on this can. Podcast?
Yes, you can. But I want to talk about, because I have really been thinking hard about, do we change the name? Do we switch it up to make everyone feel more included? And I don't know if that's necessary. I don't know if it is.
I don't think it is. I think you've always established your audience and your brand. You're kind of on the roll. I think it may not work for me. It may not work for some people, but mm-hmm. I think it works for a lot of people across the spectrum of gender. Yeah. I do.
And everybody came from an ovary somehow, some way, whether it was harvested, whether it was direct link.
And a man.
This is the beauty.
Yeah.
This is the beauty of our family. And if I change the name, if we change the name, then I can't say these ovaries anymore. Like, oh, my ovaries yeah. love you. And I love doing that.
Or these ovaries are tired. These ovaries are so tired.
They're old and scraggly and tired.
They dried and died, honey. These ovaries
died and laid to the side.
Hello.
But just so everybody knows, this is the Queer Families Podcast, and that's what I'm going to start adding to it every time I say.
That's nice.
If these ovaries can talk.
There you go.
The Queer Families Podcast, because this podcast is for all of us, and I want everybody to feel included and a part, and that you're welcome. We're all welcome here.
That's brilliant. You just came up with it. The Queer Families Podcast.
The Queer Families Podcast.
Yes.
Like, that's going to be like the, like, you know, if these ovaries could talk, dot, dot.
The Queer Families Podcast. It's a very long title. But anyway, I just, listen, I value what you have to say so much, Teek, and I am.
Thank you.
I'm just honored that you came back to talk to us. And
yeah, of course.
I also value everything you have to say as well, E. I am feeling so optimistic about where, if these ovaries could talk, the Queer Families Podcast is going.
Yeah.
Did we have to say it that fast?
You have to just go hard on it.
If these families could talk, the Queer Family Podcast. See, I got it fucked up. If these
practice.
Ovaries could talk, the Queer Family.
You're going to have to practice. Okay. I-T-O-C-T-T-Q-F-P.
I mean, Alphabet Mafia, stand up. Oh my God.
But isn't it all an attempt to, we're doing so many labels in attempt to make light of the fact that dumb labels are all dumb. And eventually, because when we get to 26, I mean, what are we going to do?
Right.
All the alphabet crew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The point is, this is an ever-changing landscape, and it's important to let it all in and include everyone.
Yeah.
Right? And let's lead with love and accept. Accept who somebody tells you they are. And then just move forward from there. Right?
Just move forward. Accept them. Celebrate them. People tell you who they are, believe them.
Exactly. I absolutely adore both of you. And thank you so much. This was really wonderful.
So much fun.
Ditto. What a wonderful thing meeting you, Teek.
Yes, you too. Let's do it again. Yeah. I'll come
absolutely.
Back whenever.
Yes, you will. Oof. Love me some Teek.
Wow. What an amazing human being.
I know, really. Right?
Such a great guy to have a conversation with. And if we're going to have a difficult conversation, we should all be practicing these kinds of conversations.
Yes.
So happy to have it with Teek.
Me too. Like, anytime I have a life question, I want to reach out to Teek, but I don't want Teek to think I'm crazy, so I keep myself from doing so.
But we're all crazy. That's what I love. Like, Teek to me speaks to that, like the acknowledgement that we're all crazy.
Yes.
And it's not bad. It's because if we all are, then it can't be bad.
Well, I still don't want to bug Teek. I don't want to bug Teek too much.
Okay.
Yeah. Teek is amazing.
Maybe once a week.
But I'm not going to bug Teek. I promise I won't bug you too much. But thank you so much for everything you do. And guys, if you want to help us make this content for LGBTQ families, you can join our Patreon community and you can do just that.
You'll do a good thing and get bonus content. Boom, 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 boom. Oh. And at the gestational carrier level, you'll get video interviews of most episodes. Guess what? Dropped a day early. Boom, 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 boom. Head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk to join. Do it now.
Yes. And you can also go get that book that I wrote with Robin. If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. It's available at all major retailers. And if you want to buy locally, you can check out IndieBound.
Get the audiobook with your ex and Jamie to read to you at night. That's available on Amazon and iTunes.
Yes.
And if you get it, don't be afraid to review it on Amazon or Goodreads.
Thanks,
it's pretty great.
Thanks
I have
for
to
saying
say.
That, E. Thanks. You guys can check us out on social media. We are Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and the TikTok. We are also If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And you can support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And that's where you're going to get that bonus content. Who doesn't want some bonus content?
Everybody wants bonus content.
Right.
And a special thank you to our sponsor, Parent Educate and Thrive Cosmetics. And a huge thank you to all you Patreons who are helping us to make this show. We really appreciate you. Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias. And we need to go because there is somebody hammering above my apartment. My dog is sneezing. I don't understand. It's been quiet all morning. It's been so beautiful all morning. And now when I'm recording, so I apologize to you for the sound issues.
No worries.
Eggs.
Fried eggs. Over, out. I had to make fried eggs.
I know. It's ovaries 2.0. I don't
ovary
know.
Eggs. I don't know. All right. Talk to you later. Bye. If these ovaries could talk, they would say.
say. Eggs, ovaries out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.